And so break up really nicely this way. The first verse, verse 1, is what we are, the sons of God. Verse 2 talks about what we shall be. That's what we're going to be tonight. And then verse 3 talks about what we should be. And so we're kind of looking at that way. What we are, what we shall be, what we should be. So 1 John 3, look at verse 1. And again, but let's look at the first three verses. Behold, there hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, pure even as he is pure. So last time we talked about verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And one of the things that we know is we're saved tonight. If we understand that Jesus is our Savior, we've asked him for forgiveness, trusting in what he's done for us, we're born again. And we talked about that. Be born again. We need to be born into the family of God and adopted by him that way. And therefore, we are called then the sons of God. So that's what we are. And what a great honor to be called the sons of God. And what John says is, behold, what manner of love, what tremendous, unspeakable, indescribable love must God have that he would call us, who are far from perfect, right? He would call us his sons. Well, he does. Now, in verse 2, John continues to build off of those thoughts of us being the sons of God and knowing that. Here he talks to us about some things we know and some things that still remain a mystery. The fact is, and you know this as well as I, we will never get everything all figured out on this side of heaven. You understand that? There's always going to be some questions to be answered. The Bible has a lot of information for us, and many things are clearly spelled out in the scriptures, and we have information on all sorts of things that we would think would be hard to understand that the Lord really explains to us, but many Bible mysteries of eternity are not answered, right? There's some things maybe that you still have questions about, and maybe there are some things that are still unknown. I want to encourage you tonight to not falter in your faith or because of things that you can't know or don't yet know. It's amazing the devil can blind a person by what they can't know. They can know. So the devil will, for example, the gospel message is very simple and every child can know it. Okay, we can know that we are sinners. It's not hard really to describe. In fact, I think is with us, and he said he dealt with the lady that said she had never sinned. I'd never had that experience. I've actually never had much trouble telling people they were sinners, having them understand that they were sinners, because we all know we fall somewhere. So that's a simple truth. The truth of the gospel that Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, rose from the dead. Those are things we can know, and they're very simple. But Satan can take things that we don't know yet or that we can't fully explain or fully wrap our mind around and take a person and cause them to not believe the easy things they could know because of what they can't know. I know that, do y'all know what I'm talking about? It doesn't sound like I'm making any sense. If I'm just like trying to hear my own voice. What I mean is this, you'll have someone that you're trying to deal with them for salvation. And you're just trying to explain the simple truths that Jesus was God, became a man, and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for their sins in their place, that God is righteous, so he can only accept a righteous sacrifice. You're just trying to work them through the gospel. Ask a mysterious question of the universe that no man can answer yet, right? And they're not going to believe the gospel until they get an answer to all their questions, right? That's what I'm saying. And there's always some huge questions out there. There's quite a few that everyone has. There are some things, and John even admits here in this verse, I'll show you, that there are some things that doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We'll really speaking about heaven and our glorified bodies and what it will be like on that side of eternity. You know, the Bible gives us some information about it, but we can't really know. And I can't explain to you all the details of what heaven will be. And so someone who's like, I'm not believing in the Lord, answered all my questions. It's usually a very intellectual type that's kind of hung up on all those philosophies and things. But then that same person will ascribe to, say, evolution or something like that. And yet there's no questions actually answered by evolution. There's no evidence for it at all. And so there's a really kind of a dangerous place a person can get to where because they feel they have these questions they can't get answered, then they won't just believe the simple things that they truly could. I don't want us to get hung up on things that we can't know. John says there's some things in this verse we can know. Look what he says. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. We know that. We know that in verse 1 of God's love. Do I understand fully why God would do that or why he would call me a son of God or send his son? It's because of his love. I know that, but understand it. Of God. Then he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So there's some things about the future for us that it doth not yet appear. We don't know. But then he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So he's saying there's some things that we can know, and there's some other things that doth not yet appear. Would you understand this with me? If we could sit here in our human minds and wrap our minds fully around God, cease to be higher than us. You know, we God that's unexplainable because he is God. He's God. He's not us. In fact, I like what Job says in Job 26. It says, the pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed. So he's saying all these amazing things that God does. He's listing them off. He does all these things that we can't understand. But then he says this, lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. He's saying, how little do we really understand about a God who can speak worlds into existence? That's what Job's saying. He's like, how little do we really know about this vast creator who is infinite in his person and infinite in his being and so far beyond our reach? He's saying, how little do we really understand? He says, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? And Job, in Job 38, after saying a few things he probably wanted to take back, was put in his place when God said to him, hey, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Explain. If you have understanding, Job, just let me know. And of course, you know, Job, he sat there with no answer for the whole chapter because God is unexplainable. He's beyond our understanding. Now, his ways, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So the fact that there is a God higher than our complete understanding means that there will always be some mysteries about God. There's always going to be some mysteries about God in his word and in things about the future. However, he has revealed himself to us through his word. And this is an amazing thing that the God of the universe has. That's what the Bible says. He's inspired them to write words that we understand some things about God. He has revealed himself through his word to us. So there are some things we can know. And so that's kind of what we're going to deal with tonight. What we shall be. Well, I'll tell you what we shall be. Some of it we know. Some of it remains a mystery. Things we can know. We know this now. Look what he says in verse 2. Beloved, now. Do you know what? Time doesn't start till 3, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Now, right now, in this time, we are the sons of God. We know that. We're secure in that. We are saved now. We don't have to figure out whether or not we're saved. And I try to plead in every message, if you don't know whether or not you're saved, you can know. You can know. There's a simple plan of salvation that the Bible offers that we can understand some things about ourselves, that we can understand some things about Jesus, that he was God and he died for our sins and rose from the dead. And we put that information together and we understand that we need him for salvation. We call out to him. We can be saved. And John's writing this whole book to tell us that we can know, not only that we know, but we can know that we know that we're saved. I mean, we can live confidently and say, beloved, now are we the sons of God? We are. We can know that. John is living with an expectation of meeting the Savior. He's living with an expectation of going to heaven and being saved eternally, and in that salvation. So then he goes on, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What we shall be. Okay, John, now we're the sons of God, but what shall we be? Or what does he say? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Things, and I think I found three things that we can know, but we can't fully understand, perhaps, okay? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So here's the thing. First of all, we can know, but maybe not fully understand the mystery of heaven. Heaven. John is on his way to heaven. I hope tonight, this afternoon, I hope that you are confident that you're on your way to heaven. I hope that you have an understanding that you've been saved and that I pass from this life, I just get promoted to the next life. I hope of that. He's on his way to heaven, but he admits it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What is it? What will heaven really be like? What will my experience be there? I've seen all sorts of artist portrayals of heaven and what it must be. Can I tell you this? None of them get it right. You say, well, that's pretty judgmental. I don't know what it is either. I'm just saying it's not that because they haven't seen it yet. You know, maybe some of them are getting close. I'm not sure. I've seen different and I've heard different explanations for what heaven might be or may be, but and the Bible gives us some information. I mean, go read Revelation 21. How large you can make a gate out of it look like? I'm not sure. What does a jasper wall look like in a throne room in a sea of glass? And you know, the old, there's that joke about, let's see, what was that joke? Oh, they let you carry one suitcase to heaven. You know, there's a joke where they let you carry one suitcase to heaven. And so a guy, he wanted to bring his riches there. So he packed the whole suitcase up with gold and he shows up and they're checking his bags as he's coming into heaven. You know, it's all silly, just a joke, right? Check his bags, he comes, he opens it up and there's, what do you got in your carry on there? And he opens it up and it. The joke. All right. I shouldn't have told it either. I'm going to scratch that one. Brother Tim, just edit this whole section out. All right. I don't know what a street of gold. I mean, the gold's so pure that you can see through it. I mean, I can tell you that's what it is because that says we'll be. Beings around the throne that are one has a face of a lion and another an eagle and another a man. I can tell you that flying around right now in night saying holy, holy, holy. So bright that you can't perceive it or look, because that's what the Bible says. But I'm telling you, I don't know what that's going to be like. I mean, it says that Jesus left and he's preparing us mansions, many mansions. Do you know what your mansion looks like? I don't. I don't know that I fully comprehend. It will be hanging I don't know that we have full comprehension of what that is. I'm just saying we can be confident we're going there, even though there's some mystery. Let me tell you, in any time that the scripture speaks of these things, not every time, but many times it uses the word mystery. 1 Corinthians 2:7-9 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So there's these mysteries. What mysteries is he talking about? Well, it says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." So we haven't seen it, obviously, right? We haven't heard it. I mean, we've heard about it through the scriptures, but we haven't viewed heaven ourselves. But it says this, "Neither hath it entered into our heart." That's what he's saying is, you know that song, "I Can Only Imagine"? No, you can't. That's another joke. Okay, y'all, it's rough. It's a rough day on the jokes. No, we can't even imagine what it must be like. And I think that's what the writer of the song was probably getting at. No, we can't even imagine. It hasn't even entered into our heart. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." One of these days, as the hymn writer, you know, he wrote the song "It Is Well." He says, and it's my coming when our faith will be made sight. I mean, there's going to come a day when the things we know and we believe, But they're a little bit shrouded in mystery. We're not sure what it's all going to look like. There's going to be a day when our faith will be made sight. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the hope, faith, and love, but the greatest is what? Love. And the reason is faith and hope will not be needed in heaven. You say, we don't need faith in heaven? No, you'll know even as you're known. That's what he says. Faith is the things not seen. We will see when we're there. And so John's just saying, I know there's some things awaiting us. I'm confident in that. But there's some things that it just hasn't appeared yet what we will be. So there's this deliverance from, or there's this kind of a mystery of heaven. Then there's the anticipated deliverance from corruption. It says, we like him. That's what it says in 1 John 3 verse 2, we know this, that we shall be like him. The next thing that John's speaking of is a transformation that takes regarding our body and our spirit. He's speaking of a deliverance from sin and the corruption of the body. Now, this is a great thing. We know when we get to heaven, we get a glorified body. But I'm telling you, you don't know what that's like, because all you've ever lived in is the one you got now. What will it be like? I mean, you answer my question. You don't have to answer out loud, but what will it be like? Never more pains. What would that feel like? Don't ask me. What would it feel like to never have a doctor's appointment again? No. Never need glasses. Right? Never to have a cold. What will that be like? But not only that, can you imagine this? Never again to be tempted by sin. Never again to be tempted by sin or to have an evil struggle with the flesh and the devil. To never more worry. Some of you are ready to check that box, right? Where's the box I can check for no more worrying? It's coming. I can't explain to you what that'll be like because right now we just worry. We're not supposed to. It's sinful. We're not supposed to, but we do. No more depression, no more anxiety, no more discouragement. But when Paul tells the church at Corinth about this changing of the body and the corruptible putting on incorruptible and the death swallowed up in victory, he says this about it. "Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to tell you this is happening. This is going to happen. It's something that you can be excited about. It's a mystery. I can't explain. I can't explain all the details." The third thing I see is that there's a great greatly anticipated realization of our Savior. The verse says, "We shall see him as he is." We'll come to a true understanding of who Christ is. when the writer that I read out of the book of Job earlier said, how little do we know about him? It says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This means, here's something that we should realize. I like to look at, if there's a positive, I always like to look at the negative. And not to be pessimistic, just to help to understand it. So the positive is, when we get to heaven, we shall be like him. I don't quite see him as he is today. That means my perception of him is skewed through my carnal goggles. Does that make sense? The way that I see Christ is imperfect today. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know as also I am known. So there's coming a clear picture of who Christ is. And here's the deal. That's what I'm saying. Tell you a lot about who Jesus is from this book right here. I can tell you that he is a God in the flesh, that he was a perfectly righteous. I can tell you a lot about that he did, all the things. I still am not getting a clear picture because I'm looking. See him in his infinite righteousness. I'll see him as he is. Every single person in the Bible who saw Jesus as he is immediately hit their face in worship. You realize that if you just read through the scriptures and you look at all the people who met the Lord face to face, ask John, go read the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1, he sees the Lord and the first thing he does is fell at his feet as dead. Joshua, when he was about to go out to came and met the Lord, and the next thing you know, he was worshiping. Daniel had the same experience in Daniel chapter number 10 when he worshiped the Lord, seeing him as he is. One day it'll be our time to meet him, and we'll see him as he is. So we know it to be true. I think that's what here in be true, and by faith we. I believe there's a street gold. I believe that there's a Savior who is perfectly right. I believe these. I just don't have. It just doth not yet appear what we shall be. And I think he's just saying, you know, the clarity is coming. Opportunity to minister to folks as their loved ones have passed over the years, just dealing with different people who have lost a loved one. And one of the things I love to tell them, that I think brings great comfort, because when I realized it brought great comfort to me, is you can explain this, that when someone's passed on and they're with the Lord, they are finally seeing things clearly. They're finally understanding all the things. So a lot of times we wanted to say a little bit more to our loved one before they left. We wanted to explain something that we didn't get to explain. You know what? They already know it. They already know what you're trying to explain. Well, I didn't get that closure. No, but they know it. They've got that they're seeing clearly. And it's a wonderful truth to know that they're very comforted by the truth that they know. We can be sure. As we can be sure that we are the sons of God. Be sure that we are going to be saved and we know him. We'll be like him, although we can't explain every detail. But here's kind of where I think the thrust of the verse is. In verse 2, he says, you know, he's dealing with things that we know, some things we don't know, but he says, here's what we know. Now are we the sons of God. Now, I can tell you this for sure. Now is the time to serve God. Now. Now is the time to work for the Lord, serving him, gaining that heavenly. Then when we know and we're known as, or we know as we're known and we're seeing him as he is, it's then too late. Now is the time to prepare and make ready. Not then. Then it will be too late. We won't have it. Once we've come, time is up. So there's even an encouragement here within the verse to understand the things that we know now, we must act on now. Now is the time to encourage our brother. Time to give. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to love like Christ did. Now is the time to share the gospel with those around. Paul warns the church at Corinth about today is the day of salvation. Jesus even made mention and said, I must work the works of sin while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Even Jesus said, now, because I don't have all the time in the world. Now's the time. See, we think about the heaven and we think, man, I can't wait. Then all we do is wait. When we ought to be serving, working, doing all the things that God wants us to do now. Look forward to all those things. I can't wait. I can't wait to be. It's that new body and see what heaven is going to be like and worship Him with all the choirs of all the saints from all time. I don't know what it's all going to be like. I can't tell you every detail. I can't answer all the questions. I just know we're headed there, and I can't wait for that. But what John is, I think, trying to reiterate to us is we've got to take hold of today. Today is a gift. Today, now we are the sons of God. Children, today, the question is, are we taking advantage of the time that we have? So we look forward to then with greatest anticipation. But we don't live as if we have all the time in the world. I think I've mentioned this verse, but it's a springtime now, and so it works. In Proverbs 6 and verse 6 through 9, the Bible very rudely calls us sluggards. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Oh, that's rough. Right? Consider her ways and be wise. These little ants, which have no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Have you noticed this ever since it's warmed up and the thawed out a little bit? The bugs start to show up. Now, thank the mosquito yet, but the bugs are starting to wake up. And if you go out here, we've already had to buy an ant killer. Put on all the ant hills out here because they know this. We have just a little bit of time until winter comes again. Those ants know that. You say, how? I don't know. Their brain is smaller than I can even see. I can't even see their brain small. That's how dumb the time to go gather my meat in the summer because the winter is coming. And I'll have to go back and down for the whole winter. He says, think about the ant. Have you considered coming a day and all those questions that we have will be answered and all the things that we believe but we can't necessarily explain every detail will be clear? Realize until that day gets here is the time of gathering. It's the time of harvest. It's the time of work. And winter is coming. Night is coming. Need to be about the Lord's business. He needs to, wouldn't it be great if He just find us working? Catch us in the act of serving Him. Wouldn't that be good? By the way, our service, we've talked about this in Sunday school. Yes, our service is based out of the church. This is the body that He's put us in so that we can serve Him. But when we leave this place here in just a moment, we're still the church. In fact, service just begins, like the old sign says. And you go out into your workplace and you serve Him. And what I'm saying is, He doesn't have to come back on a out of the verse. First of all, you're never going to know it all, because there's plenty that you do know. It's all going to be clear one day when we get to heaven, and we can know that makes us, gives us, wait on that clarity. We are to serve him. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Father, I thank you for the message. Thank you for the word of scripture here and the truth in it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to go this week and understand that we don't have all the time in the world. And, you know, Lord, even we spend so much time wrestling with things that we can't yet understand when we could just be acting on the things that we do know. Lord, help us with this and help us to be busy about your work. I thank you for this church, the people in it. I pray you'd bless us all as we go out. Be with those that are traveling. I know there's several families moving around this weekend for the holiday. We're thankful everyone gets to do that. We just pray you keep everybody safe. Give everybody a great weekend. Again, we do thank you for our country, for the freedoms, Lord, that we have here. We thank you for those men and women who sacrificed for those freedoms and are continuing to sacrifice for that. We pray that they would be on our mind and in our hearts as we celebrate and really every day. And Father, thank you for what you've done for us and for offering us salvation. Lord, I pray that if there are any in our midst that don't know you as Savior, Lord, that they would not put this decision off or wait. I can think of two people right now that really just need to get saved. And Lord, I just pray for them. I pray you'd that your spirit would draw them to you, that they would have a gain an understanding of your need, of their need for salvation, their need for you, that they would be saved. Again, Lord, dismiss us with your love. Give us a good week. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.